Sermon is called Jesus the Good Shepherd, Part 2, from John chapter 10, verse 11 through 21, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. If you brought your Bible with you this morning, please turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. I'm just going to read the last few verses from last Sunday. They go right into this week's message. Gospel of John, chapter 10. We left off last Sunday in verses 7 and through 10 with Jesus telling the Pharisees and those who are around him, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, says the Lord. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10 says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So let's pick up in our passage this morning. Let's take a look at verse 11 through 13. Jesus continued to say to these Pharisees and those around him, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But the hireling, that's a hired hand, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. Verse 13, the hireling flees because he is a hireling, a hired hand, and does not care about the sheep. So Jesus is talking with these Pharisees, these false religious leaders who are leading the people astray. In contrast of himself, he's talking to them and he's letting them know that he is absolutely talking to them about they are the ones he calls thieves and robbers. They come in to kill and destroy. That they're not really, they don't love the sheep because of these things. And he separates himself in contrast of that he is the good shepherd who cares for his sheep, his people, unlike these hypocrites, these false religious leaders. I mentioned last Sunday that these religious leaders had been entrusted by God to lead the people in righteousness, to point them towards the truth, to bring them into a greater affection for God in the anticipation of the Messiah. That was their job to do. They were to be the shepherds of Israel, but they completely missed the heart of God, and Jesus separates himself from these false shepherds in this passage. This was shortly after he healed a blind man on the Sabbath. And now this is the same day, same scene, same event. And he's letting all these people know that around him, I am the true and good shepherd who cares for the sheep. These religious leaders claim to be followers of God, but they didn't even know God. Jesus referred to these false leaders as false shepherds, false teachers, thieves, robbers, strangers, hypocrites, and now hirelings, which is a hired hand. That they were hired to preach and teach God's word, but they didn't. They preached a different gospel. And that is going on in today as well. And they had nothing in mind but themselves. That's why Jesus calls them these names, these thieves, these hypocrites, that they were only out for themselves, not for the sheep. So again, he's separating himself from them. That I am the true shepherd. You are false shepherds, right? They were very corrupt, these religious leaders. They were lovers of money, not lovers of God. And they only cared about themselves. And Jesus calls them out over and over in the Gospels. And Jesus presents himself as the good shepherd also, who willingly lays down his life for the sheep, right? Showing true love and protection and commitment, unlike the hired hands who abandoned the flock when danger comes. So he's really separated himself from these false shepherds. Jesus told them and his followers, including us, that he is the good shepherd, unlike them. I am the shepherd, the good one, in contrast to them, the bad ones. This is also the fourth I am statement that Jesus makes in the scriptures, in John's gospel, that I am the good shepherd. I am is the name of God, Yahweh. He's saying, I am, declaring that he is God in the flesh. Another claim to deity. And these Pharisees, these religious leaders, know exactly who Jesus was claiming to be when he said, I am. I am God, Yahweh, the Messiah. This is why they wanted to kill him. They thought it was blaspheming. These men were spiritually blind, spiritually dead. And all they wanted to do, as we've been going through this gospel and the other gospel, is to have Jesus killed. He was exposing their corruption and their false teaching. And when you expose corrupt people, they want to kill you for it, right? We see this going on in our own country, sadly. People standing with the corrupt instead of standing for what's right. The true and good shepherd is described as the one who loves. He loves and he cares for his sheep. And he lives and dies for his sheep. And that, of course, is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his life for his sheep. This is why he came. He tells us in verse 18 when we get there, this chapter, he says, no one takes my life from me. He said, but I lay it down myself willingly for my sheep. Right? Jesus gave his life. Listen, Jesus gave his life for you and me willingly. Right? He did it willingly for us. Right? 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him, in Christ. Jesus took our place on the cross. He died for us. He laid down his life for his sheep. Why did Jesus die for us? If you brought your Bible with you, I want you to turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 53. Prophet Isaiah prophesied exactly why Jesus came and died for us. Isaiah chapter 53. You guys know this prophecy well, but we're going to go through it again, a few verses here. Tells exactly why Jesus died for us. Isaiah chapter 53, I want you to go down to verse 5. We're going to look at verse 5 through 8. The prophet Isaiah prophesied and wrote, but he, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions. That's why he died for us. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement, which means punishment, for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed, saved. As we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Christ, the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Speaking of Jesus, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. Here it is again. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. That's why he died for me and you. Because of our transgressions, through his love and grace, he came to die in our place instead of us being on the cross. That's why he died for us, because we were dead in our sins, our transgression, our iniquity. So he came to save us and reconcile us and redeem us and reconcile us back to God the Father through him. Amazing love and grace. He died for the transgressions of his people. And this is what he's telling us in this passage. I am the good shepherd. I'm the one who lays down my life willingly for my sheep, my people. Jesus paid the penalty for his people, his sheep, whom he knew, as we have read, whom he knew, and throughout human history is continuing to call to himself. Right? Matthew 1:21. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Wow. Can you imagine God sent forth his son to die for me and you? Why? Because our sin separated us from him. So God sent forth his son to die on the cross in our place. Can you imagine? Yeah, you guys have heard me say this before. Somebody with perfect righteousness that had never sinned had to take the punishment that we deserve in order to satisfy the demand of God's justice. Someone had to do it, and Jesus was the only man to qualify. Because a sinner can't die for a sinner. We needed a perfect lamb without blemish. And he came in the flesh to die for you and me. And when you surrender your life to Christ, all your sin debt gets transferred to the cross, and Jesus' righteousness gets transferred to you. And so now when the Father looks down from heaven and he sees you, he sees Jesus in you. Amazing. Matthew 20. Verse 28 says, the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. And on the third day, he came out of the grave and he regathered his sheep. The sheep were scattered and he regathered his sheep and he continues to gather his scattered sheep. Jesus said in John 6:39, all that the Father has given me, I shall not lose one of them. None that the Father has given me. And the Father loves the Son dearly. And Jesus loves his sheep dearly. Speaking of love, I want you to, if you've got your Bible with you, you've got to open to the Gospel of John, turn to chapter 17. You want to talk about love. Turn to John chapter 17. We'll eventually get to this chapter. Might be a few months, but we're taking it slow. We want the Lord to speak to us. We want to know what he's saying. This is an incredible passage. Read this often. The whole chapter is incredible. But I'm going to go down to verse 24. I just want you to know, this is Jesus just before his crucifixion, and he's praying to the Father for us. He's praying to the Father, Father, I want you to love them like you love me. Listen to this. John 17, 24 through 26. Listen carefully. Jesus prayed the high priestly prayer. Verse 24. Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you. And these, us believers, have known that you sent me. Look at this right here, verse 26. And I have declared to them your name, Father, and will declare it. Look at this right here. That the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. It's amazing. Do you see that? Jesus prays to the Father. He says, Father, I want you to love those who you gave me as much as you love me. And we know the Father loves the Son dearly. Now, wait a minute. We know how much the Father loves Jesus. He loves him dearly, 100%. And I know he loves you and me. But like he loves Jesus? Yes. Just like he loves Jesus, he loves you. Because the Son has made this request to the Father. Father, all those that you have given me, have surrendered their life for me, I want you to love them like you love me. Amazing, huh? Amazing. The language that Jesus uses in his prayer is this love that you loved me, Father, would be in them too. And I in them. It's incredible. Father, I want you to love them like you love me. And did you notice in verse 24? Go back to verse 24. Not only that, look at what Jesus says in verse 24. He says, Father, I desire to be with those who you gave me. I want to be with them. I want them to be with me, Father. Of course, he's talking about in heaven when he calls us home. He says, oh, I just desire, when we call them home, Lord, I desire to be with them. Amazing. Amazing. Let's go back to our passage, this morning's passage. We'll go jump back to verse 14 and 15. Read that whole chapter this week if you get a chance, chapter 17. Jesus praying to the Father like that all the way through. Amazing. That you have a Savior that loves you that much. Amazing. And he's asking the Father, I know, Father, how much you love me, and I want you to love them in the same way. Wow. God's grace should be sufficient for every one of us. Amen? God's grace should be sufficient. Doesn't matter what goes on. Doesn't matter what happens. God's grace is sufficient. Excuse me if I have to keep clearing my throat. Let's take a look at our passage, verse 14 and 15. Jesus went on to say, I am the good shepherd. He says it again. When Jesus repeats himself like that, he wants to make sure. You might have missed it the first time. I'm going to tell you again. He says, I am the good shepherd. I want you to know that. And I know my sheep. Look at this. And am known by my own. You see what Jesus is saying? I know my sheep, and they know me. We know each other, right? Verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus said, I know my sheep, and they know me, because we have a personal relationship every day. I know them. They know me. They hear my word. They follow me because we have a relationship. They're not just Sunday Christians. They're daily disciples of Christ. We know each other, Jesus said, right? These aren't Christians in name only. We know each other. They belong to me. The Father gave them to me. They know me. I lay down my life for the sheep because I know them personally, and they know me, and I care for them, and I love them. Wow. Let's take a look at verse 16. You're going to have to really put your thinking cap on with this one, verse 16. Look at this. A lot of information in this one verse. Jesus said, and other sheep, okay, I have, which are not of this fold, what I'm talking about, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Who's Jesus talking about? The other sheep. He's talking about us Gentiles. He's talking about non-Jews. Gentiles. Right? See, us Gentiles were always part of God's plan. Let's go through this verse again. We're going to break this down for you so you understand this. Jesus said, the other sheep, the Gentiles, I have, which are not of this fold, Israel, the Jewish people who belong to me. So I have my Gentiles who belong to me, and I have my Jewish people who belong to me. Okay? He says to the Gentiles, I must bring them also because they belong to me too. Okay? And they will hear my voice because they know me. And there will be one flock and one shepherd. Jesus is saying, I am going to gather all my sheep, all my people from all nations, Jews and Gentiles, and there will be one. And I will be their one shepherd. I have sheep, Jesus is saying. I have sheep all around the world. Remember, he's talking to the Jewish people right now. He's talking to the Pharisees, and he's letting them know, I've got other sheep. I know you guys think, you Pharisees think you're the only ones getting in heaven. No. I have Gentiles who belong to me as well. And I'm going to call them. He says, I'm going to gather them all together and I'm going to be their shepherd. Jews and Gentiles in Christ. Right? One God, one family. Amen? Right? Jesus died for his sheep. He loves his sheep. And he's going to unite his sheep. When is he talking about? He's talking about the millennial kingdom. I'm going to gather all my sheep. Revelation 20. I'm going to gather all my sheep. All the Gentiles that belong to me. All the Israelis. All the Jewish people that belong to me. And I'm going to bring them all together in the millennial kingdom. And I'm going to be their shepherd. That's what he's talking about. You can read the prophecy in Ezekiel 34, if you want. It's a long chapter. I was going to share it with you, but it's pretty long. It's a great passage, Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel, he's prophesying about the millennial kingdom, about Jesus gathering up all his sheep, Gentiles and Jews, becoming one, to be with him in the millennial kingdom. It's fascinating. Ezekiel 34. Read that one, too, this week. You guys get some homework. John 17, Ezekiel 34. All right, let's go ahead. We'll continue here. Let's look at verses 17 and 18. This is the relationship between the Father and the Son. Jesus said, therefore, my Father loves me. Why? Because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Look what Jesus says. No one takes it from me. But I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. I'm God. This command I've received from my Father. Total love and obedience right here. The Father gave the command. The command, Son, lay down your life and take it up again. You have the authority, Son, to do that. I'm commanding you to do that. And Jesus, That's exactly what he did. And Jesus said, that's why my Father loves me, because my love and obedience toward him. The Father gave the command, and Jesus obeyed. Son, lay down your life for the sheep. That's the command. And son, take it back up. You have the power to do it. Amazing, huh? That's the command. And Jesus says, my Father loves me because I'm obedient. Love and obedience go hand in hand. You can't say you love Jesus Christ but not obey him. Amen? You can't. Jesus sets the example for us with the Father. He sets the example how we're to be to him. Listen to what Jesus tells us in John 14, 21. Speaking of love and obedience. Jesus said, he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and I will show myself to him. What's Jesus saying? Let me give it to you in simple terms. Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. That's it. Simple terms. If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. Obey me. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but do not do the things I say? Says the Lord. Love and obedience, they go hand in hand. And I'll just say this, add it to you, add it. True repentance, not an emotional appeal before God. That's what a lot of people do during altar calls. It's an emotional appeal. It's not true repentance. True repentance and saving faith produces obedience. Okay? Unless you have truly repented before God and have saving faith in the heart, you're not going to obey Christ. Because true repentance and saving faith produces obedience. And it's not a burden. You want to obey. That's a sign of being saved. That's a sign of being saved in Christ Jesus. Jesus says, if you love me, you will obey me. The Father loves me, Jesus said, because I obey him. He gave the command, son, go into the world, give your life for the world, lay it down, and take it up. You have the power to do it. And Jesus did it. That's amazing. All right, let's take a look at our final three verses. Verses 19 through 21. John wrote, isn't Jesus now. John is writing now. Verse 19, therefore, don't you love that word, right, Alma? Therefore, now that you know this, here comes the application, right? Now that you know this, John wants us to know, after Jesus said all these things, there was a division among the crowd. Again, among the Jews. When he says the Jews, he's talking about the religious leaders, not the Jewish people. Because of these sayings, and many of them, the Pharisees, said, he has a demon and he's mad. So they thought about Jesus. Why do you listen to him? Look at this though, verse 21. Other Pharisees said, these are not words of one who has a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Oh. So, I'll just keep this real short. Some of these Pharisees were spiritually blind, but some of them were catching on. Right? Others said, wait a minute here. We read before, some of these Pharisees says, nobody speaks like Jesus. We've never heard a man speak like this and do miracles like this, like Nicodemus, who ended up becoming a disciple. He went from a Pharisee to a disciple of Christ. He went to Jesus by night and says, there's no way you cannot be from God. you cannot do these things you do. And before Nicodemus even got to ask a question, Jesus says, I know why you're here, Nicodemus. I'm starting to get in your heart. And I'm just going to tell you right now, Nicodemus, unless you are born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Put away all that legalistic religion that you guys preach in the temple, this works-based gospel. It's rubbish. You've got to be born again. He told him three times in 8 verses. Nicodemus, I don't want to hear it. You must be born again, or you cannot see the kingdom of God. Powerful. All right, we'll pick up in this next week. To be continued next Sunday. We'll continue on in this, but let's go ahead and let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this morning in Jesus' name, that you would open our hearts and our minds to your word. Oh, Lord, how you love your sheep and how you've asked the Father to love us like he loves you. What amazing love. We thank you for this. And we ask you, Lord, that you continue to speak into our hearts each and every day your word to us, Lord. We thank you and pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.